It's the Who's On First Baseball Show with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson.
The fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Talking all things baseball on the Coach's Corner Sports Network.
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base.
And here we are, the coach and the baseball fanatic.
And what's up, baseball fans? It's Wednesday night, June 21st, 2023, the longest day of the year. And, you know, it's been a long time since we talked some baseball. 2 weeks ago, the coach, yours truly, and the baseball fanatic hopped on. And we did some talking last week. I had a tough schedule. The golden voice of the show and the man with the plethora of knowledge, Kyle Lawson, had to take a little break because he had a big engagement this Saturday with the Savannah Clovers. So we're back in the saddle again, and we're back here to talk baseball. Remember, this is all presented by Coach's Corner Sports Network. Because without Coach's Corner, we wouldn't be doing this. And remember, they got 4 shows, 3 live, 1 podcast, and, you know, it's a lot of fun. Wednesday nights, Brandon Bain does the rubbing and grubbing with the OG of the sports network, Lawrence Bennett. He's the producer from 6 to 7. Then on Saturday mornings, it's usually me from 9 o'clock to about 10:30 with the Carl DeMasi Sports Report. Then once a year, we have the 19th hole with the Herb Brothers. Go check it out on YouTube, the 19th hole, Coach's Corner Sports Network. You'll love it. And, of course, one podcast. It's the Who's on First Base baseball podcast with the coach and the baseball fanatic. And here he is. He's biting at the bit. He wants to talk a little baseball. And that's Kyle Lawson. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, Coach. How you doing? Long time no see. My voice feels way better. And I am ready to talk some ball with you.
You'll be impressed. I listened to you Saturday night. You did a good job.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I mean, the Clovers, that was a tough one. They played Club De Leon, a team that is based in Daytona, Florida. And the Clovers dropped a tough one, 1-0. They played tough. They almost came back and won it, even though they were down to 10 men. And a lot of good things coming for the Clovers, and they take the show on the road. They'll be up in Rochester, New York, playing Flower City Union at 6 p.m. this Saturday up in Rochester. And if you want to watch the game, any Clovers fans out there, you can turn in to 11sports.com. All the NISA matches for the Clovers and the rest of the league are there for free. Tune in. You won't be able to hear my golden voice, but you'll be able to see the match. So, yeah, thanks for the little shout out there, Coach.
You got, hey, yeah, you know, local sports. You got to talk about local sports. You know that? You
got to. Got to.
All right, here's the lineup. We play 4 innings. We'll start out in inning number 1, Major League Baseball. We go around the horn. We go around in each division. Tonight's going to be short and simple, short and sweet. We're going to pick one surprise each from each division. We're not going to go who's up by how many games and who's doing this. One surprise from each division from me and one from the baseball fanatic. Got to go to segment number 2. We're chopping on the Braves. Okay, offense versus defense. Which one is the better of the two this year so far? I don't know what it's unbelievable what the Braves are doing with the bat and the ball and home runs. We'll get into that. Segment number 3, got to talk about Savannah Bananas. They're going out to, I think, Alabama, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. I believe they'll be heading to Birmingham.
Birmingham, and then they're going to go to Rickwood Field on Saturday night, the oldest minor league baseball stadium in the country. But there's no internet there, so it won't be televised or on the internet. They'll be recording it, and they'll bring it up. And then after Birmingham, Alabama, they go to your favorite place, buddy, Indianapolis.
Oh, that's going to be a good one. And, yeah, there's been a lot of publicity about that all over the Indianapolis Indians AAA site, and they are certainly looking forward to it. I might even see some cousins out there. We don't know.
Okay, and then we'll talk. There's 2 players we know that are doing stuff. One's in Japan. One was trying to make it in the Major League Baseball Draft League. We'll get into that, and we'll talk a little College World Series, and we'll make it quick. We know the Gators are in. Is it going to be the Demon Deacons or the Tigers? We'll talk about that. And then segment 4, okay, he's 4-0 already. Okay, we're going to go into our baseball trivia contest. All right, inning number 1, let's step up to the plate and start talking about what's going on in the standings in Major League Baseball. So we'll go around the horn. We always start with the junior circuit, the American League, and we start in the AL East. So since you are the man that's always winning the trivia games, I'll give you the honor to give me your first surprise out of the AL East so far after 65, 67 games.
You know, it's pretty tough because it's such a dominant division, the AL East. Of course, you got, you know, Tampa Bay leading the charge. Easily the best record in baseball at 52-25. I'm not surprised, but I'm enjoying it. Baltimore, That is a good team. Adley Rutschman, you know, you got Gunnar Henderson, a lot of really talented players. 6-4. I mean, they dropped one last night, but I mean, they're 5 games out, and this team is 17 games over 500. That's good scouting. It's not really a surprise in the division. I'm a little bit surprised that they're doing as well as they as well, better than Toronto. Toronto would have been my pick as a surprise club, but you know, they've won 2, but they're still, look at how tough that division is. Baltimore, I wouldn't even say a surprise. It's just pleasant to see.
It's pleasant to see that the Birds are not the cellar dwellers anymore. Okay.
Yes.
The Red Sox are down there, and I know they beat my Yankees, but my surprise team is the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. This team has been consistent over 65, 67 games. And
you're always surprised by them.
I don't see a flaw, do you?
No, I don't. I mean, that's a talented club. Wander Franco, you look at Manuel Margot, you got Shane McClanahan. Guys, you're finally starting to see national audiences take note of the guys on this club and realize how talented they are. That is a strong organization, quite possibly one of the strongest in baseball from top to bottom as far as their scouting and development is concerned. And, yeah, I mean, man alive, 52 wins, we still got another week in the month of June. I mean, this team is just nasty.
And they got the most wins in the month of June so far. All right.
A little bit.
Let's go to the AL Central. I don't know what you're going to pick out of here, but I'll go first on this. Minnesota is my surprise that they're still hanging in there, but the rest of the division is not showing us anything. And Minnesota drops 5 games early in the month of June, but they're still holding that top spot. So, you know, that's my biggest surprise that they're staying right there.
Honestly, I think if you were to look on paper at the start of the season, you would have said the Chicago White Sox would have had the most talent. They're in that window. That's a comedy of errors. It's unfortunate. I listen to Chicago radio like crazy. Minnesota, they should be kicking themselves. The fact they're only 1 game up in this division. That is a terrible division. It's easily the worst in baseball. You can make an argument for the NL Central, but this is truly a shambles right now. I think Cleveland can come up. They're going to sneak up and bite them. I know it's going to happen.
Yeah. So we'll see if the Twinkies can hang on, okay? All right, so we're moving right along here pretty quick. All right, got to go out to the AL West, and I'll let you go. I did the Central first. You do the West first.
See, honestly, I think this is probably the easiest one. The Rangers are a great ball club. It's easy to see. I'm happy that the LA Angels are actually making a run at this and playing some good ball, because it's good for the game when you see guys like Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani get a chance to maybe see some October baseball. I mean, you think about it. Mike Trout, easily one of the best players of the last half of this decade, if not, geez, getting closer to an entire decade. He's only been in the playoffs once.
Once.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're right. Once.
In a divisional series right now. I'm not surprised by anything else in that division other than probably how good the Rangers really are. I mean, Marcus Semien, you look at, Cody Seager. I always say his brother's name. I will always do that. And even with DeGrom out, their starting staff is getting the job done right now. And they're starting to pull away a little bit. Right now, it's a 2-team race. And, I mean, I still think there's going to be a 3-headed monster in this division right now. But I will say my surprise is everybody that really underestimated the Rangers thus far. 70 games, good sample size. This is a good ball club.
What my surprise is, and I'm not going to talk about standings, is how they're talking about the Angels going to trade Shohei Ohtani before the season's even over. I mean, they're already talking about it. I mean, we're only 65 games into the season, and we're already trying to dump Ohtani. I mean, it's ridiculous. That's a surprise to me.
No, I still see him sticking with them for the remainder of the year. I mean, I still feel like the trade deadline is going to be really unique this year with the unbalanced schedule. And I think, I mean, that's going to be next month. I'm pretty sure that's all we're going to talk about. But he sticks around. I mean, if they feel like they could make some kind of move, it would have to be astronomical. I don't see any world where that happens. I'm not sure what's going on in the mind of Artie Moreno right now, but that would be just absolutely devastating. He will easily next season be the highest paid player in baseball.
Yep.
That's easy to say.
All right. But, well, I agree with you with Texas quickly. I know I shouldn't be doing this to you.
Sorry, sorry. I mean, we could. That's a whole segment we could do. I'm sorry. I'll stay off of it.
Safer out last night. Texas Rangers.
Oh. Okay, that was close, but he took it. I know it just as a baseball, just from visually, that's no. He should have been safe, but by the rule, by the letter of the law, he took an illegal lane. You have to call it. That's all it is.
The catcher took the illegal lane?
That's what the call was.
That the catcher was interfering?
Yes.
There was no way he was interfering. His foot okay. was behind the plate.
Yeah, I still, it doesn't feel right, but the call is what the call is. I saw it. I rewatched it several times. It didn't feel right as a baseball fan. You go, hey, that's not right. Well, it happened.
I know. We had some serious collisions at home plate, and that's why the rule's there. But, you know, I know. Baseball's got to be baseball someday. And it's just like, if you ask me football with all these illegal hits, I mean, you got to let the guys play. But it seems like, you know, and I agree with you. We have to have safety first. But that wasn't even close to being a tragic
you can't even
play.
Yeah. You can't even compare the two, though.
Right.
You can't exactly. even compare the two sports. That's another conversation we'll have. But
go ahead.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, that was the call. They ruled it by the letter of the law. That's what's in the Major League Baseball rule book. That is the rule. You have to call it. You have no choice.
Okay. All right. So that was big.
We got to get to that National League.
Oh, yeah. All right. You know, but, you know, good old Mr. Bochy, he was right there. He had that happen way back when in San Francisco. And we know what happened.
Yes, he did.
Collision. That was nasty. All right, let's go now. Stay in the West Coast, or I like to call it the Left Coast. Let's go to the NL West. It's my turn to go first. The biggest
Light
surprise is the Diamondbacks wearing those gold uniforms. Those were nasty. I liked them. But the Diamondbacks are my biggest surprise. I mean, I didn't know anybody until you mentioned 2 weeks ago, Corbin Carroll. The kid's all world. I mean, he's rookie of the year. I mean, he's leading in so many different categories. If you would have told me that the Diamondbacks would be in the race when we started this show 5 shows ago, I would have told you you're crazy, Fanatic. I know you're crazy, but I wouldn't even told you more you're crazy.
Yeah, and I wouldn't blame you right there. And Zach Gallen is absolutely anchoring that pitching staff. That is a talented team. I didn't see that coming. I really didn't because, I mean, I look at that division and I would have said, okay, two-team race, and right now you got three really talented teams that are streaking a little bit. I mean, the Giants right now are 9-1.
You can't count the Giants.
That will not make my wife very happy to hear it. But also, I mean, but the Dodgers are the Dodgers. They're 3.5 back right now. I think the biggest surprise for me just the last week, if I'm just saying a surprise from this week, is the surge the Giants have been on. They're 9-1 right now. They're 2.5 back. Arizona is playing some good ball. Is it sustainable? I don't know because of the depth LA has.
That's true, but it is the biggest surprise for me right now. Besides, we're gonna go to your beloved NL Central, Cincinnati Ooh. Reds, 11 in a row. They haven't done this since 1957. What's going on there? I mean, we weren't even counting on Cincinnati. Now the Cardinals are in last place, which makes you very happy. Okay, the Cubs are getting hot lately. You know, the Brewers yes. and Pirates are cooling off. I mean, we know it's probably the second worst division in baseball, but I'm telling you right now, it's going to be a crazy, crazy division to watch all year long, and it's so fun. My surprise is the whole division is screwed up. That's my surprise.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody you would have picked probably the Cardinals and the Brewers as, you know, Pittsburgh – And Cincinnati are pretty much kind of in a little bit of a rebuild. They're in flux. But nobody is a full tanker in this division right now. Cubs are playing some good ball. They just swept Pittsburgh. Cubs got 2 days off, and then we play the Cardinals in London. Get a load of that. So that jet lag And yeah, that's wild. Yeah, I'll be up in the morning watching those. Don't you doubt that. I think my biggest surprise, and I kind of feel like the Milwaukee Brewers are kind of feeling like how the Minnesota Twins are feeling right now. They should have grabbed the division by the throat, but they didn't. And they just haven't. And you got a streaking Cincinnati Reds club. I don't think that's sustainable, but when you had Ellie De La Cruz get called up from Louisville, special player. He's going to be a talented guy. You get the face of your franchise back, Joey Votto. God bless Joey Votto. I love that guy. But the Cubs are playing some interesting ball right now. I think Pittsburgh is falling back to where we thought they would be. It was not sustainable. I don't know what the heck's going on in St. Louis, but I'm here for it because I can't stand it. Biggest surprise right now, Cincinnati streaking, but the Cubs slowly knocking on that door because that is not a good division, and I think it's a three-team race to see who can win it.
It's going to be fun. I mean, we're in a no-man's land right here. We're a little more than a quarter of the season, but we're not at half a season yet, which is, what, the next 15, 16 games? So it's going to be
– Yeah, prior to the All-Star break, of course.
It's going to be pretty interesting to see what happens with that. All right, let's we're moving right along here. Quickly, NL East, I mean, biggest surprise for you?
Probably how bad the New York Mets are right now. Man alive. Jeez, 4-6. My dad's actually at Citi Field last night because they're on the road. Yeah, made a nice little salute to Citi Field and to Mets fan and to the Mets. He sent me a picture that I can't really talk about on the air, but you get my idea. Anyway, he's at the Grateful Dead concert with a friend of his. So, but the Mets, all that money from Steve Cohen, the biggest shocker is how they continue to underachieve. The biggest surprise, I mean, the biggest, I think the most obvious thing is how well the Braves are doing. And I know we're going to get into that in our next segment. They continue to get the job done. I think a fun story, though, is the Miami Marlins. 9 games over .500 right now. They're 6 games out. In Luis Arraez, in his chase for 400, you love to see it. He's a slappy guy, but he can hit the ball pretty hard when he needs to. He'll get it out of the yard. But any time you see a guy hitting in the 380s or 390s, you wonder, is this in modern baseball, can you do this?
But we're going to find out to see if he can hold on and if he can do this. That's going to be the interesting part about it. We'll see if he can hold on and do it. And, I mean, you just jumped, you know, my only surprise right there is the fish. They get rid of Don Mattingly, who's been the diehard manager there for so long. Gita jumps ship. Arraez is turning people's heads with, you know, with a 400 season. So, Jorge Soler, I mean, the guy's off the wall too. So
Georgie boy.
The Marlins have to be viewed as a team that's going to be in it, or they're going to be the disruptors. That's what it's going to come down to.
Yeah, they could be the noisy neighbors. Let me tell you that right now. They will play a factor in who sneaks in, maybe not to win the division, but also to see who gets into that wild card.
Yep. All right, so that's the round the horn. My biggest surprise right now in Major League Baseball is that Marlins team and the Cincinnati Reds and the Arizona Diamondbacks. So those would be my three big surprises. So that's how we look at it. I don't know what you feel, Kyle. You're gonna stick with who?
As far as my biggest surprises, I think I told you all of them.
All right, which one's number one there, buddy?
Probably biggest surprise right now. I mean, the NL Central's a shambles right now. I think just if I'm saying right now, probably the Cincinnati Reds, I don't know if it's sustainable, but that's one. The fact that I think Baltimore, that's a good ball club. And I'm just, it's a pleasant surprise. I'll tell you that right now. And then the Central, just the fact is the utter mediocrity of it. I'm shocked that Minnesota hasn't pulled away. I didn't say surprises of who I was going to pick, but just what I'm thinking. So let's just move on to that because this schedule is ridiculous.
All right, so let's get that's it for inning number one. You heard it, Major League Baseball around the horn, the biggest surprises from the coach and, of course, the baseball fanatic. Don't forget you'll listen to the coach and baseball fanatic on the Who's on First Base Baseball podcast. It's all presented by the Coach's Corner Sports Network. All right, so let's get to inning number two now. We're in Georgia. I know you're a diehard Braves fan. Diehard Cub fan. Okay, I've been a Yankee fan for so long, but I'm telling you right now, I'm more a Braves fan than a Yankee fan.
I know you do.
I mean, so this is a big part of our segment, and Let's start chopping on the Braves. Now, the question I got for you, Mr. Baseball Fanatic, with all that statistics, cranial vault stuff going on in between those ears, offense and defense, which one has been the best so far for the Braves this season?
Well, I'm just going to say, because of the injuries, it's going to have to be the offense. I mean, you got up and down that lineup that is nasty. You got Acuna, Riley, Albies, Olson, Sean Murphy, a little bit banged up. We got some news about him we'll cover. Eddie Rosario chipping in. Marcelo Zuna, I mean, they can score runs. They have the highest run differential in the National League right now, 102.
Wow, 102. That's unbelievable. And, you know, they're playing a team that's, you know, supposed to be really red hot is the Phillies. So it's a good series. They took game one last night, only 4-2. When's the last time the Braves only scored four runs in a game? So,
it's crazy to say that.
The offense is the key right now for the Braves. I mean, they're just putting so many runners on base. They're scoring so many runs. The differential is phenomenal. I mean, you don't have to worry about the defense. We don't even need to talk about the pitching staff. But they are facing some injuries on that level. But the rookies are doing a great job there too.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, you get a young guy like Bryce Elder. He's going in there and dealing. You got A.J. Smith, Shauver. I almost want to say Schuster every time. But Smith Shauver right now. He's going tonight right now. And he's got 11 Ks through his I think he's only got three starts right now. But Max Fried and Dylan Lee are ramping up. They're throwing some bullpens right now. So you're going to get some help. When you have the offense the Braves have, going back to what I think is most important for the Braves, the offense has been the key. The fact that you don't have a de facto closer, Raisel Iglesias and AJ Minter both have 10 saves.
And neither one of them is overpowering.
No, they're really not. But, I mean, you get a little bit of a cushion, but you know that these guys can come in and do the job. They're not necessarily always going to be the guys you would target in free agency as a, you know, de facto closer, an absolute shutdown guy in the ninth. They have clearly both pitched in the eighth and ninth inning. They're talented pitchers, but they're always seem to be given a cushion. So the onus is not always on them when things don't go well.
All right. Well, here's a curveball for you. Okay. I know we're about 6 weeks away. Trade deadline. What do you think we're going to do this year with the Braves with Mr. Anthopoulos?
I don't know what Mr. Alex is going to do right now. I'll tell you that, but I think it will be an incremental signing right now. And I really think it's going to depend on the health of who comes back pitching wise. Offensively, I don't feel like you really need to add much of anything. Sean Murphy, thank goodness that hamstring's not as bad as we initially thought. He took some BP today, and there's a possible return. And the thing is, if he does go on an IL stint, it'd be backdated, so you'd really only miss him for another series. So Travis d'Arnaud, who's shown to be just a really talented catcher, he can go in and fill in nicely, and you can slide him in the back of that lineup with all the firepower you had ahead of him. Excuse me. I need to take a breath more often.
You should. Come up for some air. I mean, d'Arnaud, if you ask me, is the unsung hero because, I mean, he's a jack of all trades, outfield catcher, and, you know, another big night the other night. What did he hit, like a 474-foot bomb? I mean,
he can still hit tanks, let me tell you. But he's really been a Swiss Army knife, yep. And I know he's one of Snit's favorites.
All right. Anything we got to look forward for the Braves the next couple of weeks before the All-Star break?
Well, right now, I mean, I think I already kind of buried the lead a little bit, but Max Fried and Dylan Lee are ramping up with some BP sessions. It's a possibility they may be back before the All-Star break right now. And it's possible we could see Sean Murphy before the weekend series. So ball goes well tomorrow. He gets cleared by the medical staff. You could see him behind the plate. And honestly, I don't even think you probably would. You'd probably see him in a DH position if he's ready to go with that hand.
And once again, it's a big interdivision series this weekend or this right now in the middle of the week with the Phillies. So we'll see what happens with that. But, you know, those are the games you want to take, your division series. So we'll see right now while we're doing this. It's in a rain delay. So we'll see if we get to the game tonight. You could maybe play a doubleheader tomorrow, but who knows what's going to happen. So we'll take it from there. Other than that, first place, 5.5 games over the Marlins. Not the Mets. The Marlins.
Wild.
So it's just crazy. So that's inning number 2 in the book. You're listening to the Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach, Carl Nemasi, and, of course, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. And you got to get the coach's corner because it's all sports, all food, all music, all fun. Since when?
I believe 1991.
1991. Okay, so the Braves are in the book. They're in the books. They're in first place. Inning number three, the Bananas. I mean, they took on the Maryland Blue Crabs, right?
Yeah, Atlantic League Club. Yeah, they did.
I got to get my notes here. Okay, so far the Bananas have played 45 games overall. Right. They're 22-21-2. So, but against the Party Animals, they're 16-18-2. So in challenges though, not bad, 8-3-0. So you know, the Bananas are doing a great job. They're sold out everywhere, and I mean, if you don't catch the YouTube channel, if you don't get out to Grayson Stadium or wherever they're playing in the United States, even watch them on a YouTube channel is pretty fun with Pico Scala and the rest of his crew. So it's pretty interesting. But some good baseball. And I know you're excited now because the next two weekends, they're not going to be in Savannah. They're going to be in Alabama. Okay. So Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama on the 23rd. And then they're going to slide over and go to the oldest ballpark in the United States, the minor league ballpark in Rickwood.
So, yeah. And then Rickwood Field.
They go to Indiana. So it's going to be pretty interesting. And people are still loving it, buddy.
Yeah, you can't get a ticket anywhere. It's going to be a lot of fun. I know the Bananas have played at Rickwood Field before. It's a really special ballpark. It's important to, I mean, so many different levels. And, you know, historically, culturally, you know, what an important ballpark that is. And I'm just happy that it's still in operation. And, I mean, you know, fans go crazy for the Bananas when they come there. And, I mean, they sold out last time. They're definitely going to this time. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And, I mean, everybody in Alabama seemed to really enjoy it. I mean, they came to Birmingham prior. And I believe they played in the Birmingham Barons Stadium last year.
They're going to Regions Field to play.
Regions Field. That's a nice double-A stadium. That's one of the best stadiums in the Southern League.
And then you go to Rickwood.
Yeah, Rickwood. But, I mean, you're there for Rickwood because of the baseball history. Right there. Okay. And they're going to pack that joint, let me tell you.
So Friday night, you'll be able to watch the Bananas on YouTube at against the Birmingham Barons. Okay, it's a challenge. And then on at Rickwood Field, it'll be the Party Animals against the Savannah Bananas. Once again, there'll be no internet there. And then they'll travel to Indy, and they'll play a Thursday night and a Saturday night game out there in Indianapolis. So that's what the Bananas doing. And a quick note, a quick kudos to Jesse Cole and Emily Cole. They're starting what they're going to call Banana Foster. No, it's not the dessert we eat, okay? They're going to start the Banana Foster Family Program. Jesse Cole and Emily Cole are really big into family Foster Family operations around here in Savannah. So why not get the Bananas involved there, buddy?
Yeah, I think this is incredible. I mean, the Coles are a wonderful family. And, I mean, they've you know, when you say fans first, I mean, that's what they've tried to do with the Bananas. But these are very special people. And there are a lot of children in the area that need families. And I love that the Bananas are going to make this happen. I love that the Cole family is starting this. Clever name. I love that. But there's so many children in our area, in the Lowcountry, in Savannah, that need help. They just, you know, they need, you know, someone to take care of them. And I just think this is unbelievably special.
So what it's all about, the franchise announced on Tuesday the official launch of a new charity organization called Bananas Foster. It's a 501(c) dedicated to bringing families together. The team says the mission is to celebrate the foster care community while educating and inspiring others to get involved and help these kids out that need a place to go until they can get back with their family, or they can be with you for however long you want them to be with you.
Yeah, you'll never know what a great impact you can have on a child's life. And, you know, they'll realize that sometimes maybe you just need good people in your life. And I love that the Coles are reaching out and starting this. This is a wonderful charity.
All right, so let's go quickly to the two guys that we know a little bit about that's playing not in the show, but they're trying to make it back. Well, one's trying to make it back to the show. The other one's trying to get a name for himself. We'll start out in the Major League Baseball League Draft League, which is made up of all players that have a possibility getting drafted. I think it's next week is the baseball draft.
Well, yeah, and I mean, yeah, they had the MLB Draft Combine. Yes.
Yeah, that was on TV today. I saw that. Okay.
Yeah. So, I didn't get a chance to catch most of it. I had to watch when I got home.
Right. So Jay Weatherington, who played at Presbyterian, was invited to the Major League Baseball draft league. He was playing for Frederick Keys, who is an independent baseball team now, no longer playing in the the Carolina League.
Yeah, it used to be a Baltimore. Yeah, it was Baltimore Orioles affiliate. Yes,
right. They're still orange and black and everything, but he played in nine games. He had a .333 batting average, and of course, Jay Weatherington's going to run through the wall for you, and that's what he did. He ran to catch a fly ball in right field, and he tore some fascius or some membrane off the bottom of his foot, so he is on the injured list. But in this league, if you can't play, you don't stay. So he's going to try and rehab. And from what Dr. Bart Weatherington says, his father, Frederick Keys, said to him that, you know, get yourself better. Next year, we'll give you another shot and go from there, which is pretty encouraging.
That really is the fact that, hey, you got the motivation to come back. And, yeah, just get healthy. That's a tough injury, and you're going to need some time to let that heal, especially with that foot. But, I mean, that kid's got some speed. I mean, you know the type of outfield he can play. He certainly did that at Presbyterian, and we're certainly wishing for a speedy recovery.
All right, J.B. Wendelken, go ahead. Give us the quick rundown.
Okay, J.B. Wendelken, formerly of the Oakland Athletics and the Arizona Diamondbacks, he has gone over to Japan, as we've talked about several times. He's currently in the Central League with the Yokohama Bay Stars. He's 1-1. He's been their ace out of the bullpen, usually an eighth inning guy. He's finished a handful of games. 1.96 ERA in 23 games, 23 innings pitched, really good whip of 1.087. That means he's got 20 strikeouts and 10 walks. Doing the job over there. That's one of the best leagues professionally in the world. And he's still looking for a way back to the big leagues, but ultimately he's playing in a really talented league. And that is the Japanese Central League. So good on you, JB. Keep it up. Hopefully you come back to the States. And if not, keep it up in Japan.
All right, quick last point. You got to talk about College World Series. I mean, it's tradition here in the United States in Omaha. Florida punched their ticket today early. We got Wake Forest and LSU. Wake Forest, number one team in the country, going against LSU next tomorrow. So the series can start this weekend. What do you think?
I don't know right now. I mean, Wake Forest, that's a really good program, but I like myself some Tigers right now. I think that'd be a really good World Series. I mean, that would be a great College World Series, really, for either team right now. I like LSU right now.
You got to get Coach Brinkman back there.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so that's it for the bananas, the baseball players, and a little College World Series. That's inning number 3 now. We put that aside, inning over. So once again, if you're tuning in, it's the Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and of course, Kyle Lawson, because it's all part of what, Kyle?
The Coach's Corner Sports Network, people. Where have you been?
Where you been? All right, here comes where Coach always gets his rear end beat every week. It's trivia time. We take two questions from each of us, and whoever wins gets the W and gets to fly the white flag with the blue W. It's been staying downtown in that little cozy corner where Kyle calls home, so maybe the coach can get one this year. I got some last year. Haven't got any.
Oh no, you did the work last year. That was impressive. I think that's why I just kind of put the pedal to the metal and started making it tough again. But anyway, I got some interesting questions for you. But all right, let's go ahead. Go ahead. We got to do the intro.
Well, this week I'm up first, so we take first inning. You throw your first question at me.
Okay. So this was just an interesting stat that I saw last week. Lance Lynn of the Chicago White Sox, he struck out 16 in a loss. Now, there have been three pitchers who share the record with the most strikeouts, which is 19, and have lost that game. All I need from you is two of them.
Two.
Two of them. And I will say they're all Hall of Famers. And two of them played during your Utes.
Roger Clemens is not one of them because he's never made it there yet.
Nope. And that doesn't count as a guess. You're thinking.
I'm thinking out loud.
You're pontificating. I got it.
Steve Carlton, Randy Johnson.
Oh, bring it home. There you go. You got it right. The other one, Nolan Ryan. Well done, Coach.
Wow. That one I pulled out of my beep boop. So we'll go from there.
All right. Yeah, we got to bleep that later.
Yeah. Here's a question for you. All right. Since 1961, which two players hold the record for most five-hit games in a season? One was during the 90s, one was during the early 2000s.
Oh, boy.
Okay, five-hit games. Wow, 90s. And, Ricky Henderson and Ichiro Suzuki.
You got one out of two right.
Mm.
San Diego Padres, the hit machine.
Oh, my gosh, Tony Gwynn. Oh, all right, I got to wear that one. Sorry.
I'm up 1-0 here. I take this. I get the flag to fly out here on Wilmington Island.
Okay, here's one. I wanted to talk about Luis Arraez for a little bit, his quest for 400. Now, Ted Williams in 1941, of course, hit 406. True or false, did he hit 40 home runs?
That's an easy one, buddy. It's false. He won the home run title. He won the home run title with 37.
That's right. He did. Ugh.
The flag comes to Wilmington Island.
Well, there you go. Oh, my gosh. 4-1. I'd still got the better, you know, winning percentage, but you got me tonight. Those are some good questions, Coach.
I got one, though, I really wanted to ask you, and I'm going to ask you.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Who's the only Major League Baseball player to hit the most home runs as a teenager?
Tony Conigliaro, Red Sox.
Yep, you would have got it. You would have got it.
1965.
64, and he hit 24 home runs.
64, okay. Yeah. Oh, man. Tony C., one of the best players, takes one in the eye. He's out of baseball by 71.
All right. Well, that was a quick game there, buddy. A quick show. We got it wrapped up in almost 37 minutes. Don't forget.
I'm amazed.
Yeah, well, you know, we because it's usually that first inning that we go around the horn that takes us forever.
It so, still did.
Well, it still took 17 minutes. It didn't take 20. So, once again, you're watching or you're listening to the Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast with Coach Kyle, with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and Kyle Lawson. And I know we got to plug this. I can't forget about this. Okay, in the Soundgarden this week, Head Games. Who is it?
Oh, that's got to be the Foreigner tribute band. Are you kidding me? They're making their return back to the Soundgarden.
You got it. Saturday night, 7 o'clock. Tickets are selling out fast. Hey, if you want to win two free tickets, go to the Carl DeMasi Sports Report YouTube channel. Subscribe. Tell me you subscribed. You got a chance to win two tickets free, and I will announce it early in the morning and on my show Saturday morning. So once again, Head Games in the Soundgarden Saturday night. Remember, because at Coach's Corner, it's all sports, all music, all food, all fun. Since when?
1991.
All right. As we say, quick, because I know this young man's got to go eat a spaghetti and meatball. Is spaghetti and meatballs this week again?
No, nah, we're doing chicken tonight.
Okay. Alfredo chicken?
No, just a really good buttery chicken with some potatoes.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I made some roast beef tidbits tonight, so.
Oh, outstanding. I like that very much, too.
Well, I didn't make it. The boss did, but I didn't tell you that. All right. So here we go.
I already knew.
Whatever you're doing today, tonight, this weekend, what are you going to do?
Always hit it out of the park.
And until we speak to you next week, it's going to be what?
Make it your best week ever.
And remember, say your prayers for all those people in the Ukraine and this crazy world that we live in. But once again, you want to take your mind off it? Just listen to the Who's on First Baseball Podcast. It's all part of the Coach's Corner Sport Networks. Okay, Fanatic, Cubs are hot. Keep it rolling. I know you're a happy man. And I'll talk to you during the week.
Sounds good, Coach. It's time to play ball, and I'll see you next week.